Hello, group leaders, Pastor Kevin and Pastor Vince with you today for our 22nd group leader podcast. This one is about biblical responses. So what if you get someone who says something in your circle or in your living room, and they say something that just doesn't line up with Scripture? And with us today is Kyle Phillips. I'll let Kyle introduce himself and tell us how long he's been leading a group and what kind of groups and all that. So, Kyle, tell the leaders who you are.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. Kyle Phillips. Been at Grace since about 2012, and leading or hosting groups probably since 2014, 2015. Don't remember exactly. Most of those years were leading, so kind of off and on for 10 years or so. Mostly it's been couples, and we've been pretty homogenous in terms of our age and stage of life, and we're trying to change that up a little bit, but it's been good in that we've always been in communities with other couples a lot like us in terms of stage of life, which is very helpful. Sometimes wanted to branch out a little bit more in terms of different experiences too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Kyle, you've been leading a few different groups now, and in your group discussion, I would love for us just to kind of talk about how you address a comment in group when someone makes a comment that's not biblical. Like, how do you go about addressing that?
Yeah, great question. That definitely comes up. You know, as a general rule, I want to address those things pretty quickly, but I'm going to, you know, we should all think about it through the lens of how important this is. And it even goes with Keith's sermon this week. I don't remember if he said major on the major and minor on the minors, or he had a newer phrase, something about making the main thing the plain thing or something like that. But sometimes we got to distinguish between, is this like a detailed thing way off on the fringe of what is important and actionable to us, or is it the main thing? If we're confused about how we are saved, we need to address it pretty thoroughly and pretty quickly. If we're on some nebulous detail about whatever, like what's the order of operation in the end time and how is that going to work? Okay, we can explore that, and we may not know. It's also, sometimes you got to check it, like, is this black and white, where we know the theological black and white, or is it gray, where the group as a whole is not even going to know what's right or wrong, and there could be multiple interpretations. So I run it through that lens, too.
Yeah, I know for me in groups, sometimes somebody will say something, let's take the end times for example, and they'll say something about that as if it were fact. And I try to gently say, you know, theologians have been arguing about that, you know, for 2,000 years, and there's just no consensus on that. And I try to just gently say, yeah, that's a gray space, and we don't have to solve it today. Kyle, sometimes when you see that happening, and let's say, for example, it is, you know, a major. Do you jump into the scriptures? Like, do you pull out, I'm sure you already have out, but do you get into the Bible and read what the Bible actually says right then? Or do you address the person maybe after class or, you know, over the phone on another day? Or how do you go about doing that?
Well, we've done both.
Yeah.
If it's something, and, you know, we've been blessed in our groups. I've probably never been leading a group where I am the most biblically knowledgeable person there, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a blessing. Yeah.
But, you know, so that's an aside to explain. Sometimes we address it immediately because either I or oftentimes someone else will kind of be able to quickly get us to the answer and quickly get us to the passage that supports the answer. And we'll do it live. I've had other times where I've, you know, the other end of that. So sometimes we'll just address it directly. Sometimes I'll say, you know what, I'm not sure on this. Let's think about it, and we'll come back next week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm so unsure about whether it's right or wrong or good or bad or whatever, I won't even say anything, mm-hmm. and perhaps no one else says a thing, but we'll still come back and address it as a group,
mm-hmm.
because I prefer to address it as a group to make sure that everyone hears the answer.
Right.
Or just one person hearing the answer.
Right.
Different times before, I've asked this person to actually have them check it out, have them come and report back to the group what, you know, after researching it or studying it or mm-hmm. whatever, maybe they need some guidance in that,
mm-hmm.
have them come back and explain it to the group, like what they figured out. That's a principle that we've used in our groups for the last couple of years is, if you really want to know something, get to the point where you can teach it to someone else, explain it to someone else. So assigning those people to do that, to research it, really forces them to check it out very thoroughly.
Yeah, that's good.
Use that method.
So how much does this come into play where you're considering the person's, you know, feelings and you want the correct information to be shared, but you don't want to embarrass them in any kind of way? How much does that play into this whole discussion?
Little.
Okay.
And so let me explain that.
Yeah.
So one thing is, of course, we're trying to have an environment where there's trust. And I've also tried to, you know, I mentioned earlier, like, I've never been the most knowledgeable person in any group I've been in. So I do try to model where I'm not sure of a thing, I'll just ask it directly in the group. If we don't get to a satisfactory answer, like, we'll follow up. I've tried to model that to show that it's okay to be wrong on a thing. It's okay to not know a thing.
Yeah.
Right? No worries. So, kind of with those as caveats, I care about people's feelings, but I care more about the right answer than the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We can't control if someone's going to be embarrassed or have a bad feeling about it. What we can do is, like, we can do it gently, as you said before,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to, you know, I worry more about couching the answer, caveating the answer too much rather than just saying the thing plainly. So, I don't know. All that to say, I guess I worry about someone feeling embarrassed a little bit, not too much, because they're going to feel how they're going to feel. And I hope that we have created a trusting enough environment where that's okay.
Yeah.
We can work through it.
Yeah.
That's good. So, Kyle, what advice would you give other group leaders when it comes to addressing something that's not biblical? So if you can give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
One piece of advice. I think address these things, address them quickly. Mm-hmm. Also recognize, have an ability to recognize who in your group is influential and who is less influential. In other words, recognize who is seen as more knowledgeable or more experienced or more mature and who is not, because that guides you on how to deal with the thing. If the non-Christian or the brand new Christian says something that is a little bit wrong, okay, well, people will rightly recognize that this person's learning. Mm-hmm. If the very mature person says it, then it's going to be seen differently. It's going to be seen as having authority behind it. So, like, you got to jump on that one quickly.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's really good, Kyle. Thank you. So this has been a really good discussion. Group leaders, I hope you have gained a couple of nuggets out of this. We sure thank Kyle for his participation, not only today in this podcast, but just all the countless hours he and Lindsay put into their group over the years and helping shape believers to, you know, move towards Jesus-centered living. Kyle, thank you so much. All right, group leaders, pray that you would take a nugget out of this and implement it into your group discussions. Thank you all.